Well, if you would put a finger back in the John passage, and we'll come to the Romans in a short while. That's John chapter 20. And let's pray and ask for God to help us to see him clearly through his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time now, and we pray, as we have seen embodied in baptism, new life, help us to see that this has been going on for 2,000 years. And may we join in this celebration. Amen. It's been a while, but it's a sign. It's a sign, isn't it? And back comes rushing all that we highlighted last time. Do you remember? We've been going through John, and we've been delighting in the fact that John has sign after sign after sign. Each one helps us to remember that itself is not very exciting. It points to something else, doesn't it? Signs aren't beautiful. All right, I don't think they're beautiful. You're by your silence suggests that they're not, though, are they? They're purely made to point to something else. And we've seen in John's Gospel sign after sign after sign. Have we not? We have, haven't we? If you've been here. If you're new, then come with us. Because John has written a whole Gospel. These things were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah, and that by believing we may have in his name. So the signs were set out before us. And so we've had sign after sign after sign. But we're here at chapter 20. This is the sign. Not a sign that we've seen earlier on that points and tells us a little bit more about Jesus. This is the sign. And John chapter 20 takes us there. And we're going to join in with the disciples and those that have followed Jesus asking about this. Have they really got it yet? Do they fully believe? Do they fully understand? Have they grasped who Jesus really is? Came to be, because we've seen them on this journey, seeing the sign, going, wow, Jesus is an amazing healer. But then falling away. They'd see another sign and they'd go, wow, Jesus is a great teacher. They'd see another sign, time after time. We've had water turned into wine. We've had the royal official's son healed. We've had the paralytic at Bethsaida spring to life. We've had the feeding of the 5,000. We've had Jesus walking on water. We've had the healing of the man born blind. We've had Lazarus raised from the dead. And the people have been on a journey. They can see that Jesus is a healer. They've seen that Jesus is a great teacher, that he's a prophet. They've seen that he's a miracle man. But John asks us this question: is that enough? Can we leave from here, leaving Jesus in one of those pockets? Great teacher, inspirational man, healer, miracle man. Or is there something more we need to see? You see, the last sign points, well, I point to this. The last sign reminds us that we need a Savior. We need a Savior. A Savior who can take away the very sin that we commit day after day, for we are all of Adam. A way in which that sin can be removed. The perfect can be swapped for the imperfect. But if we stay here, if we stay with a full tomb, death wins. Good Friday is great, but death wins. Easter Sunday, death is no more the victor. We see Jesus being victorious. We join in chapter 20. Peter, can you see in verse 8? He didn't need to see as much as others. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. He saw and he believed. Peter saw. What did he see? It wasn't the fact that it was an empty tomb. He'd have seen that a long time. Many times he'd have seen that. But the tomb was empty, for his Lord was now living. That's the difference. Jesus died and was resurrected. And so his belief was complete. He understood the Son of God, the Messiah, to be not just the teacher, the prophet, the healer, the miracle man, but the Savior of the world, the one who died, the perfect man who died, and then defeated death and rose again. Seeing and believing. That was Peter's testimony. Or should I say, believing and seeing. We spoke about this the other day, but John switches the two, telling us that physical sight, there's so much more to see than just the physical sign. It's seeing the spiritual and understanding. And so, John chapter 11, 40, if you remember, said this. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God?" Notice the wrong way around, or at least we think it should be the wrong way around. We'd say, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God and believe?" But no, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Well, that was Peter. What about Mary? Well, we join Mary in this situation here. Shocking as it is, but riddled with grief and sadness. She can't even spot two angels that appear. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and she saw two angels in white. Well, every other time in Scripture, when an angel appears, they say, "Do not be afraid." And there's a real... At this point, Mary, there's no record of her doing anything. Why? Well, then Jesus himself appears. And she thinks he's the gardener. Wrapped up in the knowledge that Jesus is dead. Her Lord is no more. Her relationship with her Lord has broken. And so what joy when he says, "Mary," she turns and looks properly and sees that it is Jesus. Jesus. The mourning, the loss, the grief is transformed to joy. Why? Well, as life changes everything, she now has a relationship with a living Lord. With a resurrected Lord. With a Lord who's not dead, but is alive. Death has not won. She sees and she believes. She declares, "I have seen the Lord." And that's what we read here. For Mary, for Thomas, and the disciples, we hear of 500 who meet Jesus after his resurrection. And even those who live today, living in the light of this reality that Jesus is alive. No dead deity, no distant God, but a living Lord. Jill and Sam, wherever he's moved to, and testify to that. And billions of others around the globe. They're living in relationship with the Lord to this day. Over the last month, I've had the privilege of spending some time with Jill. It's been great. I've delighted in it. And I've learnt and been humbled and reminded what great joy. For as I speak to you, you clearly believe and see And actually there is an overflow, a bubbling enthusiasm for Jesus, for his word, and it's contagious. And it can't help but bubble out. But we're reminded that it's all linked. The sign of the cross, the sign of the resurrection, even the sign of baptism tonight, they're all interlinked. Why? Because we now enjoy all that Christ has won for us. Back to Romans 6, 3 and 4. Did you see the link? Christ's resurrection and our life today. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" That's what baptism is. It's identifying with Christ's death. It's seeing yourself on the cross. You deserve to be there, but Christ chose to be there for you. "But we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." And so in a metaphorical way, we've joined him in the tomb. For that is what we deserve. "But as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Is that not great news? I'll say that again. Is that not great news?
Yes.
Is that not why we're here today?
Yes.
Is that not worth celebrating? Not just this day, but every day? Is that not worth, therefore, sacrificing Sundays to come? And join us as we week on week celebrate. In fact, as we live our lives in the light of being crucified with Christ, buried with him, and now living a newness of life. "These things were written so that you might," that Jesus is the Son of God, "and that by believing you may have in his name." Doesn't it all match up? Can you not see? This is the life that we see. This is the life that we enjoy. This is the life that Christ led us to. Galatians puts it like this, Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now lead, I lead by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me." So my question to you as we finish is, have you seen the Lord? And when I say seen the Lord, I mean, do you believe? For clearly your eyes will have seen. Not just Jesus the teacher, the healer, the miracle worker, but Jesus the Savior, the one who went to the cross for you, the one who died and then rose again. Well, tonight, there's an invitation. Come join me on the cross. Die to self. Come join me in the tomb. And come join me now in risen new life. What an invitation that is to us all. But maybe you're here already identifying with Christ. You've seen the signs and you now believe and are enjoying life in his name. My challenge and charge to you is this. As Jesus said to Mary, "Go, tell the others, and go shouting, I have seen the Lord." Let's do that. So in our prayer at the end, let's pray. I'll spend a moment or two, maybe you having seen the baptism, maybe having heard of all that Christ has done, maybe this is the opportunity for you to pray a prayer, identifying with the cross, identifying with the tomb, and now desiring to live new life with Jesus Christ. Let's pray that prayer. I'll invite you to join in at the end with an amen, and then I'll pray for those who have new life in Christ. So, Heavenly Father, for those who now see and believe, we thank you that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. We're sorry he needed to do it, but thank you. He was willing to sacrifice it all and show your love for us. We're saddened that he had to go to the grave, dying in our place, But we see in baptism, we see in his life, a resurrection, a new life. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us that new life as we live trusting in the cross and the tomb and this new life that we can have in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.